say that.
Your sister.
What does this do?
Yeah, this is the backup plan.
Yeah, okay. Say it.
Keep Sam happy. Smooth. No, it's on me.
Yeah. Okay. We're learning from Yisrael Triosai, this Torah, on this Torah, what Eretz Yisrael means to us as Avdei Hashem. But when Rabbi Nosson once asked Rabbi Nachman, because Rabbi Nachman's Hasogas of Eretz Yisrael and his dreams of Eretz Yisrael and his trip to Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Nosson asked Rabbi Nachman, what is it about Eretz Yisrael that so mesmerizes him, that so completely takes over his life? And Rabbi Nachman said, the streets. He says, the streets, the trees. Everybody thought he was going to say all kinds of inyanim and kiddush. He said, the streets of Eretz Yisrael, the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. And that's what this Torah is about. That's what we're trying to understand. That's something that Rav Kook is explaining, that the world outside of Am Yisrael, the world cannot be masik, that bechlal cannot be masik, such a thing. Cannot understand what that means. That Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is the streets, the trees, the dirt, the air. And that's what we're learning, what that means. So we're on page in this, in Rav Aviner's Biurim, on this Torah, we're on page 136. I hope that you have that. I think that you got that last week. Yeah. On top. V'hadover klemer. Ha'uvda sheha'ilam, Rav Aviner explains. What does Rav Kook mean, hadover, the thing? What is the thing? Klemer, ha'uvda sheha'ilam abahu nishmas ha'ilam hazeh. The relationship between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, as we learned, is like a guf and a neshama. Olam Hazeh is the guf, is the body. And Olam Haba is the neshama. A lot of people, when they think of Olam Haba, automatically they think of some time later on, right? Isn't that true? Isn't that how people mostly think? Olam Haba, because the word Haba. So people have this way of thinking that after 120 there's an Olam Haba. And even now, but it's a place where the tzaddikim, the neshamas, whatever. But Olam Haba, as far as I'm concerned, Olam Haba is something later on. That's the way a person normally thinks. That, of course, is a very, very big mistake. Olam Haba is the neshama of Olam Hazeh. And that mistaken way of thinking is what causes from very early age for a person to make this tragic separation, is division between his neshama and his guf, to be completely obsessed and taken by chay haguf, by physical reality, and not to really have any shaykhis at all to the neshama, because olam haba is an andere zach, you know, it's something else, it's something, you know, where it's afterwards, it's different, it's beyond, it's not me. But the truth is that, of course, the neshama shebeguf, the neshama is the essence of me. It's the essence of who I really am. So olam haba is the neshama of olam hazeh. That's not how the world thinks about olam. That's not how the world thinks about olam hazeh. Olam hazeh to the world is a distraction. It's a distraction. Olam hazeh is a separate mitzvah. And you have an option. You make a choice. What do you prefer? Do you prefer Olam Hazeh or do you prefer Olam Haba? So most of the world seems to be in favor of Olam Hazeh. So that means that you Olam Hazeh. You know, everything is Olam Hazeh, and then you'll figure, you know, later on, if you believe in the afterworld, so then later on you'll see whatever's going to be over there. And if it's good, it's good. If it's not good, it's not good. Whatever it is, will be. It's after la'acha ma'isa. That's the mistake of the world. Olam hazeh and olam haba is a guf and neshama. Olam haba is nishmas haguf. Is nishmas haguf. Is the neshama. Is the soul of this world. Is the other world. And that's what he's explaining. Klema ha'uvda sh'arlam ha'bohu nishmas arlam ha'zeh. U'memeyla k'chol sh'anishama t'yeh chazoki yoyser. Kach ha'guf yeh chazoki yoyser. Therefore, Rav Kook was so excited about Jews finally getting some exercise, of Jews working out. He'd probably be happy if some of us did more of that also. Of making that healthy connection between the neshama and the guf. Because when the neshama, like it says in Svarim, and when the neshama is strong, then the guf, then the body, the neshama and the guf are not two separate things. The neshama is mechaya the guf. The other way of thinking is that there, like we were learning about the past few weeks, is that those people who are anshei neshama, people of the soul, they go to convents, they go to monasteries, they go to lock themselves up someplace, lahavdil alfav adolos, in some yeshiva or some seminary. They're the anshei neshama. And we're all happy that they exist and everybody likes them and they put pictures on the wall. It's nice. I don't mean other galachim. I'm talking about the other. And they're happy that they exist. Those are the anshei neshama. They're the bnei olam haba. But that's a terrible, terrible mistake. That's a terrible mistake. And the correct way of looking at it is neshama baguf. A person needs to think of himself as living in as we learned. I was talking about this Shabbat Shuvah a few years ago, but then you know, for being a ben aliyah, you know, in the lashon of Chazal, what's an aliyah? What does it mean aliyah? I'm not talking about neshama shav aliyah. What's the meaning of an aliyah? It means the second floor of a place. Habayis v'ha aliyah. The second floor is called aliyah. It's one house. You have a second floor in the house. Did you ever have such a thing where you're living in a house and there are two floors and someone says to you, I never saw you go upstairs. So you said, no, that's something else. That's something else. That's upstairs. So you say, the guy says to you, but you own the whole, you know, I looked at the bank papers, I looked at everything, and start, and it says that you bought this property on Woodmere Boulevard, whatever it is. This is the property that you own. So the guy says, I know, but that's upstairs. And they say, you have up there seven beautiful bedrooms. I have small azogas, I know that. You have so many beautiful bedrooms up there, and furniture, and various. It's so nice up there, and it's beautiful. It's a separate place.
Even has an elevator in the house.
Yeah, you can get that now too. Just to make it easy to go upstairs. So this is separate, but the person says, no, it's a separate it's not, there's one mitzias, and in that one mitzias, there's a bias of ha'aliyah. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants us to go up and down. To go up and down. To go olam haba, olam haza, olam haba, olam haza, that those two worlds are one world. It's not two different reshuyas. That's what we're learning about. That it's a terrible mistake, and it's brought horrible suffering to the world. That way of thinking, that they're two different mitzvahs, that they're two different players, two different things. It's not. And therefore, to be mechazik the neshama is not at the expense of the guf. That's not true. That's a misrepresentation of Yiddishkeit. That if you have a strong neshama, that means that you're physically unhealthy. You have to be schlepping around with torn clothing, and you have to be poor. That's a misconception. It's a mistake. That's not Yiddishkeit. That's not Yiddishkeit. The neshama with his chaskas and the guf is mechazik the guf. And when the guf is strong and the guf is healthy, then it's a toelas for the neshama. Rav Sura Kook writes, Mizbachein. Yisrael. This connection, this reality of neshama beguf, of olam haba, as being the essence of olam hazeh, as being the soul of olam hazeh, this is something that you could see by Yisrael. You don't see this by the nations. This is something that's by Yisrael. And he says, Rav Avinir explains, Lorak etzel ha'odom ha'prati, not only by an individual Jew, that you see such a thing when it's done properly, when Yiddishkeit is lived properly. Not only by the individual person. And the Beikis says, Linyan binyan ha'uma. We see this so clearly Rav Kook says by the Binyan Ha'uma, building up our nation, building up the people, building up not just the individual person. Am Yisrael, the nation also, is a neshama, there's a guf. I mean, the guf of Am Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. The trees, the streets. Eretz Yisrael is the guf. And the Jewish people are the neshama. Hisnari miofakumi, libshi big day sefaratech ami, big day sefaratech ami. That the Jewish people, that's why Eretz Yisrael is crying and waiting. Eretz Yisrael is dead without Jews. It's like a guf without a neshama. When there are no Jews in Eretz Yisrael, it's a guf without a neshama. That's what it was like all the years when there were so few Jews over there because of Golis and the Tsaros and so on. Now, Baruch Hashem, so many more Jews are back. All the years, so you see that Eretz Yisrael wasn't alive. Like it says in the Zohar Kodesh in this parashah, last parashah, Vayakel, you see that without the Jewish people, Eretz Yisrael is not Mitzi Peiris, doesn't have fruit, it doesn't, the land is nothing, everything dies, it's all stuff. Am Yisrael is the neshama of the guf, is Am Yisrael. And when we're in Eretz Yisrael, that in Eretz Yisrael, we can exist in that healthy state of neshama and the guf, of olam haba and olam hazeh together. And therefore, if Cook continues, kol ha-ma'ameitz, as chaye olam, whoever is trying to strengthen the ruchnius condition of life in Eretz Yisrael, the learning, the institutions of learning, kima mitzvahs, gemilas chasadim, etc., etc. Whoever is working to be ma'ameitz es chaye olam, meaning chaye olam haba, u'machazeg es, Rav Avinir explains, u'machazeg es ruchniyusa shel ha'uma, anybody who's working on upgrading, improving, and strengthening the ruchnius of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, I mean, it's everywhere, but especially we're talking now about Eretz Yisrael, harehu b'ne es ha'uma b'pal, you're building up the nation, you're building up the people. B'ne es ha'uma, you're b'ne es ha'uma, you're building up, not only are you building up something that you can't see, something that's spiritual, that's ruchnius, but you're mamish building up the uma b'pal. You're building, in a very practical and real way, the guf of the Jewish people, the body of Am Yisrael, the healthy mitzvahs of Am Yisrael is being lifted up. So Rabbi Ner explains, "Ukechol shadim mechazik yoseh atzad ruchani, haylam haboy shabuuma aydelima torah v'kiyemitzus." Not that there are some Jews that they learn Torah. Their job is to learn Torah, and their job is to keep mitzvahs. And then there are other Jews that their job is to work and to take care. The understanding of these two as being of the reality being in the sham and the guf is that through ruchnias, through olam habedik activities, learning Torah and kima mitzvahs, kachu yiske livnos Yosef Yosef seuma, that builds up more and more the nation in a very, very practical way, ulechoska bepoel b'olam hazeh, and to strengthen the nation in this world. Because the Jewish people can't be healthy without Torah mitzvahs. You could, this guy, when you look at him, he's lifting weights and he's a strong guy. But as a nation, as a people, individually, a person that goes without Torah mitzvahs, so he does a lot of exercise, he eats right, he looks like he's a very healthy person. But as a nation, it's not possible for us, even physically. It's not possible for us even physically to be healthy and to survive. V'kol kach lama. Why is that? There's no other nation that's like that. Why is it by us? So Rav Kook says, ki chiyusam halu'umis shel Yisrael, because the national life, the oxygen, the air, the soul of the Jewish nation, so Rav Nisa says, ha'uvda sh'uma Yisrael is chai v'kayemes. How are we alive? Every other nation that has survived, that survived, is due to its success in improving its physical standing in this world. So to the degree that they work on developing industry and medicine and science, so that's how they exist. So you have some of the countries of the world that they're behind, different places, third world countries, and some of them just slipped off the map and disappeared, or were colonized by people who were more advanced, and then they're not here anymore, or they were taken over by other people. Mashenikane, those countries that come along and they work hard to develop industry and science and medicine, so those nations are able to thrive and to be healthy as nations. That's for the rest of the world. But with Am Yisrael, that's not how it works with Am Yisrael. That's not how it works. With Am Yisrael, the fact that we make every effort to be physically well and to take care of our cultural, scientific, political well-being, all of that doesn't in any way guarantee our survival as a people. It never has. We survived as a people outside of our land, as we've been learning, like a neshama that's sort of hovering in midair without a guf. That's how we survived. Because the neshama is eternal. The guf is not. The neshama is eternal. So we've survived due to that neshama that we have. A healthy national existence of Am Yisrael, that's only neshama beguf. That's the soul in the body. That's when we were in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the place where there's that fusion of body and soul, of Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. The other nations don't have this. If the other nations are doing well, scientifically, technologically, politically, v'chulu, so then that's the Metzius. And then, of course, there's an added ingredient of some culture and some literature and some music and art and so on. But it's not the chiyus of a country. It's not the chiyus of the country. Shakespeare is not the chiyus of England. He's not the chiyus. It's an embellishment. It's a spice that adds to England, that's called Shakespeare. That adds, in their world, that adds to, that embellishes that metzius of the guf that's called the United Kingdom, that's called England. It improves the guf, because you have the writings of this person, so the writings improve lefi inyanim, improves that metzius that's called in this world, that's called England, but it's not the chiyus of England. Mashenikane, when it comes to Torah, the Torah Avodas Hashem is not an embellishment of the Jewish people. It's the chiyus of the Jewish people. But the complete and full application of Jewish life with all of mitzvahs and Torah on the highest level, which is Torah Eretz Yisrael, the deepest Torah, that's only going to be with a healthy guf, and the healthy guf can only be, ultimately, the healthy guf of Am Yisrael can only be where? In Eretz Yisrael. Not in Poland, not in Russia, not in Morocco, not in Yemen. In these places, we survive. We were gasping. We were just like a neshama without a guf, a neshama without a guf. And that's what we're talking about. We got used to that way of thinking, that it's all about spirituality. It's just spirituality, and like we were learning from Rabbeinu B'chai last week, so that anything that you do to improve or to become connected to physical reality is on the cheshbon of spiritual reality. That's not Yiddishkeit. That's not Yiddishkeit. There is such a relationship when it comes to the nations of the world. It's not Yiddishkeit. Just the opposite. Each one, Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh, it's one house, it's one metzias, and each one is mechazik the other. But it's natural that when you're more inclined to the neshama, that you neglect the guf. And then when you're a person that's more inclined to the guf, that you don't pay so much attention to the neshama. So the anshei neshama over here, they're going to be Isaac today in Shnai Mikra HaTargum and the Parish and so on and so forth. And the anshei haguf are going to be more concerned with other matters of this world. That's what's just natural. That's how it becomes, you know. One is thinking about, oh yeah, I still have to finish up Shishi. I'm only up to Shishi with Shnai Mikra HaTargum. The other guy is thinking, oh, you know, I didn't ride the bike this week. It's going to be Shabbos. I didn't yet do my, what's the bike that you don't run? It's in the house. The Oh, you know, one of those, a treadmill or something like that, right? I wasn't on the treadmill yet. I wasn't on my treadmill yet. This guy's thinking, oh, I'm up to Shishi. And this guy's thinking, oh, I didn't do the treadmill. This one's thinking, you know, I have to go see my grandmother, my grandfather, my parents. And the woman's thinking, oh, yeah, I have to get to that coffee shop on Central Avenue. It's a different... and became like that, such a thing. But the Emma says there's no steer between visiting Bubby and going to coffee. There's no steer between going on a treadmill and going to learn. But it became like that. It's a natural thing that there are people that are more anshei neshama, and they look at the people in the coffee shop like they're crazy. Like they're crazy. That's how I feel every time I pass by. That they're crazy. What are you doing sitting here? Rabbi Nishlo, what are you sitting here? And I just go out of my mind looking every time I look in. I say, what are they sitting here, people? Like there's nothing to do in the world.
They're learning. They're sitting.
I'm not saying I'm correct in that way of thinking. I'm saying that's the natia that I've had since I'm in the world. I look like it's mashuga, it's crazy. What are you doing? What are you living like that? What are you sitting in like you have nothing to do with your life? You're sitting in drinking coffee in the morning and having a Danish and schmoozing. What's the matter with you? There's a teva like that that's very extreme. The emes is that there's not one on the cheshbon of the other in the correct and healthy way. A person to be in this world and to be an al-Hamadika person, and halavai should be what you're saying that they're sitting and they're talking about Torah and they're being mechai aguf and mechai nesham, that's what's going to be. Mashiach comes. Such a mitzvah is that haba Yisraeli, like it doesn't only have two floors; it has three, four, five floors, and so one. It's one house. It's one house. It's one house. It's no more. It's not going to be anymore. You know, there's a lot of people say that I'm going out. I'm going out. I'm going out to eat. Going out to eat. It's the mitzvah of a person seeing himself as inside and not outside, and that everything is the bayis v'haliyah. That's what Mashiach is going to be. That's what's going to be. Kol bosa yachtav. Kol bosa yachtav kipi Hashem dibe. Kol bosa yachtav. The soul and the flesh, kol bosa yachtav. That's what it means. The Jewish people are unique in this way. That's what Rav Kook is telling us, and Rav Avinu is explaining. Ha'uv de sha'uma yisraelis chai v'kayemes ha'inavaz u'mahave hemshech hi mehatzlochas olamim. Our existence is not like other nations. Our existence is a hemshech v'hatzlochas olamim. Olamim. Shken chaya netzach mechazkim is chaya yeshua ba'am Yisrael. Baruch hei ha'olamim. Min olam v'ad olam, atokel. Min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. Chai olamim. Chai olamim. The chiyas of both worlds. Together, simultaneously. Not that there's this world. This world is not chaya chayim baruch hu. This world is olam hazeh. Afterwards, I have to deal with God. That's the way the world thinks. Afterwards, I have to contend with that inyan of ruchnias. Except you have people who are people of God in this world. Those people of God, yeah, they're not in this. They're not connected to this world. They're just people of the other world. And traditionally and historically, people usually respect such people. And they give them money. Not just Jews, but they give them money that they could sit and they could basic and other habitical things, whatever, in godly matters. But as far as I'm concerned, the person who feels that my place is Olam Hazeh. That's my mitzvah is Olam Hazeh. So we have a person now that wasn't raised in the world of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, in that world of Torah Baal Shem. And when he sees a tzaddik sitting by a tish and chassidim standing around a tish for 3-4 hours, so he also thinks, Rabbi Yisrael, why don't they go to sleep already? What are they doing here? Why don't they sit and learn, right? Why aren't they learning? Why are they standing here by a tish? Everybody's standing there looking at this tzaddik, and the tzaddik's having a piece of fish or something, a piece of kugel, and everybody's standing around there looking at the tzaddik having a piece of kugel, and you know, some person walks in, there's no shaykh, there's Indian. It looks like it's mamish crazy. What's this? What's the avoda? What is this? What's this? What's going on over here? What is this? The whole Indian of achila, that there's such a thing as achila b'kedusha, the avoda of eating. The avoda of eating. What's the avoda? What's the Indian of achila b'kedusha? Achila b'kedusha. That's something the Mitzvah Shem one day have to give like a couple years of shiurim on that Indian, because Achila B'Kedushka is such a big part of life. Really, it's always, it comes up here and there, but it needs to be to just talk about that sugya of Achila B'Kedushka. It's very much a part of all the tikkunim for Mashiach. That's how all our problems began, by eating the wrong thing, and the tikkunim take place through eating the right things and how to eat and what to think about when we're eating. But that's what it means. Chai olamim, chai olamim. So if Cook says in the last sentence there, v'zehu ha'goydol shel Torah shebaal peh, and this is the greatness of Torah shebaal peh. This is the greatness of Torah shebaal peh. This is really what we're learning about in all the Hakdamas, the Sefer Yehoshua, the Tzaddik. This is the greatness of Torah Shavuot Peh, and the fulfillment of the complete fulfillment of Torah Shavuot Peh is only in Eretz Yisrael. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't come. Moshe Rabbeinu is Torah Shebichsav. Moshe Rabbeinu's place was, but then it was Chutz Laaretz. It wasn't Eretz Yisrael. It's Torah Shebichsav. Eretz Yisrael is when the Jewish people are living, not with mon and not with miracles, but we're living chaya guf in Eretz Yisrael. People working, people planting, going about their business, not being in the midbar in such a metzias. The midbar was an olam habadikah place. Right now we're finishing up Sefer Shmos and Gezon. And we're entering into Sefer Vayikra, into the Avodah Vayikra, and here we're transitioning. We're beginning our march really in a strong way to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to Beis Hamikdash, because the end of the Beis Hamikdash is Chai Olam. That's the Beis Hamikdash, to join together this world and the other world. And people are also the same. Way that a person is wondering, what does that mean to go to a rabbi's tish? What's going on over here? What's going on? That what's this tzaddik sitting at a table and everybody staring at him? And what's the avoda here? And niggin and food. So you talk to that person and say, what do you think is the Beis HaMikdash exactly? The Beis HaMikdash is a rabbi's tish. What's the Beis HaMikdash? What's the Beis HaMikdash? The Kohen Gadol has even fancier clothing than the Rebbe. The Rebbe is trying, but the Kohen Gadol has even more beautiful clothing than the Rebbe. And the whole place is a place that's Magusha, Magusha, Mamish. Olam Hazeh. The Beis HaMikdash? Olam Hazeh. And you have a tzaddik there, the Kohen Gadol. And he's handling with flesh, with meat, and with this and that, and Beis HaMikdash. And he's giving out shirayim. Well, the Beis HaMikdash is not a Rebbe's tish. It's not a Rebbe's tish. And all the Hasagis, our Sagas of Agolas became so far that people become uncomfortable. These parishes that were now, because now we're in the parish of Chved Hashem Malei Es HaMishkan, that the Kovod of Hashem descended and became part of this world. That's the completion of the Mishkan. And then we go into Vayikra. Vayikra is, now the Baruch Shalom says to Moshe Rabbeinu, come over here and start working. So what's the Avodah in Beis HaMikdash? So you think the Avodah in Beis HaMikdash would be 24 hours meditation, right? That's what you think. It should be a place like a quiet meditation room. That would be the Beis HaMikdash. Like some quiet, sterile, clean meditation room. What do you think is going to be the Beis HaMikdash? If you think Machne Yehuda is busy, it's mamish nothing. I'm talking about Machne Yehuda the way I remember it 50 years ago. Now it's already became much more settled and civilized, the way they used to be. Beis HaMikdash is much, much more of a busy place, of a noisy place. Beis HaMikdash, noisy, busy place. Blood splattering all over the place. All over the place. Kahanim walking around, up to their knees in blood. So there's eating. And Levim Bashiram or Vizimram. And then you have the Chassidim singing. Chassidim are saying it's not a Rebbe's Tish. It's not a Rebbe's Tish. Of course it's a Rebbe's Tish. But over the years of Gaul, this whole thing is so strange to us. That's why these parishes of Yikra, we just like hold, you hold your breath and everybody hopes to get through. I don't know what it is. There's no Eilud, there's a Shlom Mechad, there's, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's all good stuff. We should be Zoych, they sit maybe, I mean, oh my. That's basically until you get to, you know, Achrim, Mois, Kedosh, or whatever. This, you know what's going on over here? A Shlachtois, you know, a slaughterhouse. What is this? Who's catering over there? What's going on over there? Mesbor Chai Olam. Namish. All of our tefillahs, all of our longing is to come to a place that's not a meditation room. It's a shlachtos, a slaughterhouse. All of our hachanas, all that we're waiting for is not some quiet. It's a loud, busy place with tzaddikim walking around with knives. And there. And you walk there, what do you hear? Your cows. We come to the Beis HaMikdash. What do you think you're hearing? Cows and birds. It's not some sort of a chapel, some place where you meditate. Certainly, by the Karbon, it's Yichud Shemayim V'aretz Mamash. Yichud Kudshu B'chus Shchemte. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted. That's Dibur Tachtonim. Moshebenu was standing outside, so the cloud enters, the cloud of Hashem, whatever that symbol, that sign of Hashem's presence enters, and Moshebenu is standing outside. He's afraid to go in. He's afraid to go in. How do you go into such a place? What's going to be in this place? And Hashem's boss, Vayikra, Hashem says, come on, come in. It's Baruch HaOlam. That's what Rabbi Nachum is saying. The streets of Yerushalayim, the streets of Eretz Yisrael, the trees, the air, the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. It's Kodesh Kadosh. Nobody else thinks like that in the world. There's no other thing like that. There's nothing like that in the world. There's only Am Yisrael has such an Indian like that. Where does all of this come from? Our way of living. It comes from Torah Shebaal Peh. That's Torah Shebaal Peh is Chaye Olam Nota B'Sochenu. That's not only Torah Shemes, it's Torah Shebechsav. The Torah says, Chaye Olam, eternal life, Nota B'Sochenu, is Torah Shebaal Peh. It's an iti, it's a plant. It's something in this world that grows. It's planted in the goof of Am Yisrael, in the hearts of Am Yisrael. And therefore the complete fulfillment of Torah Shebaal Peh is only in Eretz Yisrael. That's already the world of Yeshua bin Nun. That's what we're talking about in the Yeshua Shirim. That's already the Indian of Yeshua bin Nun, which is the beginning of Torah Shebaal Peh. Yeshua ben is Torah Shebechsav. But the Torah Shebaal Peh is HaGodol Shel Torah Shebaal Peh She'omdo L'Hashgir, that the Indian of Torah Shebaal Peh is that it's L'Hargil means it prepares us and accustoms us and gets us into the habit, into a life. Next page is a long footnote. We'll come back to that. Mitzvah. Eschaye ha'ilamim. You have it? Eschaye. I know you have it because I saw it on, that I photostated it. I saw it. I saw the paper over there. Chaye ha'ilamim bimlo muvanam bu'uma lo ha'itzim iliban shel tzedukim. He's saying a very, very deep thing. The Chaye HaOlamim of the Jewish people is through Torah Shebaal Peh. The Chaye Olam Nota B'Sochein is through Torah Shebaal Peh. Because Torah Shebechsav is in Inev Olam Haba. Torah Shebaal Peh tells us how to live as Jews. This is what you have to do. This is the manual. This is the Lamaisa. This is what it means to be. This is what it means to be a Jew, to live as a Jew. Now, you know that Stukim did not believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, right? They didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. They're very religious people. They believed in God. And they believed in Torah Smosha. They didn't believe in that part of Torah Smosha, the Torah Shebaal Peh part of Torah Smosha. They didn't believe. So why is Rav Kook bringing this up now? So Rav Aviner explains. Shehayu anoshim chumraniyim, Ashakofu bechol in yoni hakdusha v'anetzach shalem haba u'mitoch kach lo heminu b'toyer shabal peh. B'vadesh lo yroba mitzias alokis shemimis alo chalayoyis akovit shalchuk emaisiyim shehumtsu ayidei harabanim. So Rav Aviner explains, these were people who believed in God. But the Bekoifer, he didn't explain it so clearly. The Bekoifer, Bechol in Yoni HaKadusha, as far as their application in life in this world is concerned. There was some of them that renounced altogether the other world and threw themselves completely into this world. And there were Jews at that time, the Isium, who they renounced this world and threw themselves completely into the other world. There are theories that Osahish was one of that chevre, was from those chevre of those who took themselves away from this world and lived by Yam HaMelech. There were different chaburas like that of Jews that are called in English, and they're called Isium in Hebrew, in English they're called Essium. Huh? How do they pronounce? Yeah, Isium. Yeah, Essium. That they were Purish from altogether. So they were, on the one hand, there were these stukim that they were very, very much makusha to this world, very, very much makusha to this world, and they were fressing very much on this world, the stukim. And then you had the Isium that they were what? Anshe Olam Haba. They had no shaykhs. They didn't get married. There are those who say that Oseish, that Yashka was one of those chaver, that they took themselves completely away from this world. They went to live over there by Yam HaMelech someplace, in those caves. And there were two separate chaburas, the Tzdukim, the Isium. So the Tzdukim were Anshe Olam Hazeh, and the Isium were Anshe Olam Haba. But this is exactly the sickness that we're talking about. Right? That's what we're talking about. This is during the Second Beis Hamikdash. That's what we're talking about. That terrible division. In Yemela, you understand that there was a division between, in the perception of these people, between Torah Shebach Sav and Torah Shebal Peh. So they wanted a pure Torah Shebach Sav. So for some of them, that meant just this world, Chayisha. For others, it meant just the other world. That's what Torah Shebach Sav is, just, you know, Moshe on the mountain and the clouds, the Midbar. But that there should be that those two worlds is neshama in the guf, olam ha'az and olam ha'ab is neshama guf. That no, either you make a decision, either it's a body or it's a soul. So the tzdukim were nighter much more to the body, and the isium were much more nighter to the neshama. Therefore, they were tayvling 10 times a day. These people tayvling and tayvling and tayvling, and the inyan of hating the flesh and torturing their own bodies. That's what they were doing. They were fasting and tormenting themselves. But you see that even among Jews, there was an inyan me'ein, that lahavdol, me'ein, me'ein, until the Baal Shem HaKadosh, to the light of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, of course, came to the world, took that away from, came out completely from the world, from our world, such an inyan of tormenting the body. There was such an inyan. And there was a time that there was something, like we learned from Rabbeinu B'chai, that there was an aura like that in the world. But in Am Yisrael, this terrible division that took place between the Tzdukim and the Isium on the one hand, and the Prushim, the Chachamim, on the other hand, was a rejection of Torah Shebaal Peh. Because Torah Shebaal Peh says there's a Neshama and there's a Guf. Torah Shebaal Chsav is the Neshama, and Torah Shebaal Peh is the Guf. Torah Bechlal is the Neshama, and Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael is the Guf, and so on. That this was what they could not live with. That therefore, what they said was that Torah Shebaal Peh was made up by rabbis. It was made up by a bunch of rabbis. That's not something that God gave. So Kovet Shalchukim Ma'isim Shehumtsu Ayidei Harabanim. This is something that was created by the Rabbanim. It couldn't be that the Baruch Shalom cares about how you go to the bathroom. That's how they felt. It couldn't be that the Baruch Shalom cares about whether you brush your teeth on Shabbos or you don't brush your teeth, whether you comb your shaitel or you don't comb your shaitel. It couldn't be that the Baruch Shalom has such an inyan with such katness, such smallness. It couldn't be such a thing. Imagine a person who's having chalila, terrible, terrible headaches. He's having terrible headaches, migraine, terrible headaches. And he says, you know, I think I need to go find out what's going on, to go to the check. And you say to him, what do you have a shaykh? What is such a kleinikai? It's just your goof. It's just your body. What are you getting so worked up about your headache? That separation is sick. There's a connection between the goof and the neshama. And if there's something that's hurting you physically, it hurts your neshama as well. The two cannot exist without one without the other. That's neshama in the mitzvahs of human being. Of course, neshama exists without the goof, but in that, what Hashem wants is neshama b'guf. Neshama b'guf. I'll tell you something very interesting. It's maybe some of you know about this. How many of you heard of a person by the name of Dr. Jonathan Sarna? You heard of Dr. Sarna? Yeah? All the Jews that had backaches over here heard of him, right?
saved your life.
Yeah, so you heard of him. Most of you heard of him. You didn't hear of him. You will. You should be healthy and well, but you will. So, his whole Torah, he wasn't Jewish. But he had a schus, this person. He's a brilliant doctor. He died just 2-3 years ago. He was in his 90s. He was a brilliant doctor. A big, big chacham. That for years and years and years was mostly involved in spinal and back surgery. And then he, over the years, he was noticing more and more that there's something strange that's happening, that he's in the mitzias of the guf, that he began to feel that there's something unethical about him going on with all of these back surgeries. You could read the book. It's one of the best-selling, I think, next to Tanakh, Laudon, it's the best-selling book. Especially in Jewish neighborhoods, bestseller. Jews have a lot of backaches and shoulder pain. Huh?
What's the name of the book?
You look out there. He has 3 books. He puts on his. You look these. Yeah. By the time you finish saying his name, the Amazon will bring it to your house. Don't worry. It's been reprinted thousands of times or something. So. Yeah, it's not Sarna. Sarna is a Jewish name. Sarno. He's not Jewish. I know he had such a schus, this person. He had a strong keshe with Jews and with the Jewish community.
He has a student, Rabbi Katz, in Borough Park.
So I'm going to tell you about that. You think I was just going to talk about the not Jewish part of it? That was the Jewish part of it. So now, there's an important reason why I'm telling this to you, chutz from the fact that maybe it could help somebody. But I'm also telling it to you because this is the whole sugi that we're learning, to get an idea of what Rav Kook is talking about in a very, very clear and poshut way, what it means, in a very simple way. And I'm not saying this is a person who goes for all kinds of strange, unconventional mahalchem, a very old-fashioned, traditional type of a guy. But this inyan of Sarno, my wife and I first found out about this years ago because my wife had such a horrible backache, she couldn't walk. My son Ushi had to carry her into the doctor, Mamish carry her, and she couldn't walk. I had to lay her flat on the back seat of the car, and he had to carry her into the doctor. Ad kedei kach, she was in such pain. And the doctor, Daf Schneiden, you know what I mean, Schneiden? Cut. Surgery. Went to another one, surgery. We happened to be talking to somebody, it's a whole how this person... And said, did you ever hear about this Sarna? So he said, no, never heard about it. So this person was kind enough to give the book to my wife. And within, I'd say, 7 or 8 days, my wife was 100% back without any medicine at all. She was fine. She was walking. Everything's fine.
The mind-body connection?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the Indian TMS, that's what it's called. And I also had... terrible. After that, I had a terrible problem on my back. It was once Tisha B'Av, I could barely walk. I don't know if you mind. It was terrible. And it was the same avoda. And within, and also to have to get a surgery, and they say you have to get a surgery. And I did this Indian, this Avaida of Sarna. And this has just been recently a certain health thing with myself, the shoulder. And also, I was supposed to go for surgery, and I said, I decided not to do that, and to refocus, because I didn't know there was so much nugget to that part of the body, because everybody said it's not, but it is. And Bekitsa, so I think I'm just telling this to you myself, that for the first time in almost 2 years, I'm able to lift up my arm like this. And it's only after 3 days of being Isaac in this. It's the first time in almost 2 years I can lift up my arm. So what's the thing? So there's Rabbi Katz, is a Talmud of Sarno. He's a Chassidish Rav. He has a brother that is the Shtibel in Farakwe. The Rabbi Katz is Shtibel in Farakwe. That's it. That's one of the brothers. And once a month, this Rabbi Katz gives a shiur on the Mahalach of Dr. Sarno. So I went with a chavra of mine a few nights ago. I went with a chavra. It's a Yiddish Azach. It's late at night, and it's such an interesting collection of... And he has it in his basement. There are around 150 people. There's no room for people to sit. There's so many people. Some people are sitting, and most people have to stand. There's a mechitz in the middle, men and women. And this Tyree, this precious Talmud Chacham, sits there, and he says this cute, interesting story. It's half Yiddish, half English. And he tells over the Avoida of Dr. Sarno to give chizuk to the island, which I already know that Avoida, but it's very important to go. He doesn't let you tape it. Because the Indian of going is itself already a big tikkun of going. And I'm not, therefore, I'm not going to go into the whole sugya, but what it is, what this Rabbi Katz, when I called him the first time, he said to me, I have more chassidim than the square rabbi. I have more chassidim than the square rabbi. Because Jews have a lot of stress, and that one of the most popular places where the stress goes after you is by the lower back, and the shoulder also, neck, back shoulder. The Jews are very, very stressed out, because we're Isaac in big things, and he has a lot of chassidim this year. So I had heard about it, but I actually saw it the other night. I went, and it's a 2.5 hour shiur. Mom is standing room only. I don't know how they don't move to some shul or someplace, but he wants Davka to have it there in Borough Park. And he says it over, you know, with a pasuk here, with a capital tilim there, and with a shmeichel, and with a joke. And it's so sweet. The whole thing was one of the most beautiful, sweet experiences, and with all kinds of Jews asking such funny questions, like how Jews talk. And he was saying over a maisa about there was a certain Rosh Hashiva that couldn't walk for like 2 years. This big Rosh Hashiva who died already a few years ago couldn't walk for 2 years. And that he was, and Baruch Hashem, he was here for 2 days. He came twice and we're talking. And then the lady calls out. She says, "That's my father, that Rosh Hashiva." "That's my father." She says, and she starts to correct him that it wasn't for this long, it was for that long. And, you know, it was such a Jewish event. So, the only thing that wasn't there, there was no kibbutz, there was no food. But everything else about it was like, it was so sweet, it was so Jewish. You know, people like arguing with them and going, how much, and him yelling, and they're yelling at each other. It was the cutest thing. But what's the Yesod HaDavar? The Yesod HaDavar is very, very simple. The Yesod HaDavar is that each and every one of us in the neshama, deep down, we're in pain. There are things that we're hurting over. This one's hurting over, is upset about the marriage that was not matzliach. This one's hurt about the kid that's not. This one's hurt about the panos. This one's hurt because someone didn't say good Shabbos to me. This one's upset because my neighbor went into my yard with his fence. Everybody's lo chaser. Everybody's got so many inyanim. And Jews are deep people. There's a lot of inyanim. A lot of inyanim. And there's a lot of deep, hidden pain that in order for us not to think about those things that are hurting us, be'etzim, that are hurting us, Hashem has made such an amazing thing that part of us sends pain to the guf, and that pain to the guf distracts you completely from the chaya and the shama. Ad kedei kach, there's a very simple thing let's say he gave an marshal. There's a guy that wanted to be, let's say, he gave a marshal of a mayor, but somebody wanted to be the president of a kehila, right? And there was an election, and he was all set, and he lost the election. He's sabrochen that he lost the election. He's not going to be the Rosh Kal. He's so sabrochen. He can't get this off his head. He goes home, he wants to talk to his wife and, you know, his kids, and he's all upset about what happened. And he gets his hand caught in the door, and it blows up his gefährlich. So when that happens, he doesn't remember the kehila, he doesn't remember the job, right? It's a completely different place. All he has is what? That tsar, that agmas nefesh of the hand, the agmas nefesh. Then he's worried that they're going to, the Hatzalah comes, and he's worried that the Hatzalah says, this is very serious, I have to get to the hospital. They might have to cut. He goes to the hospital, and they're able to save the hand, and they're able to work on it. And the second he stops feeling pain, what does he start to think about? How come I'm not the Reish Kol? How did that guy beat me out to being the Reish Kol, right? I mean, how could that happen? So the metzias of a person is these two worlds. Mamish chay olamim, in a person himself. That's the mashal. The nimshal is unbelievable. And one of the questions was asked. So not only is it, this is a big sugya, but not only, like mano, hay fever, all different kinds of things. That he says, not everybody could be. There are some people that if you don't believe in it strongly, but if you be machazik yourself, and you concentrate, and you say to that part of yourself, that subconscious part of yourself, that deeper part of yourself, you say, there's nothing Edson, that's wrong with me. Of course, sometimes if a person broke his leg, there are things that are broken. They have to, but most of these back pains, that's what Dr. Sana said. Skornish Magornish. He looks inside, there's nothing really wrong. There's nothing really wrong. I had this injury with my shoulder, and the surgeon said, it's badly atrophied, it's like this and like that. And I'm thinking, what does that mean exactly? Explain to me. Like, I know it's killing me, but like, is it torn? No, it's not exactly torn. It's like this, but February 21st, we're going to operate on you. and we're going to go in there, we're going to see what we can do. And then just before that, a friend of mine, this friend that I went to go, they sent me an article he saw, that they found that more than 50% of these shoulder operations on the rotator cuff are unsuccessful, and the people have more tsaras. And Dr. Sano said that there's gornish magornish. Most of these things are gornish. Nothing happened. Is that what's happened is that there's 60 years plus of all kinds of daigas and all kinds of stress and all kinds of feeling of nervous and all different things that a person has. And, you know, the doctor said when I walked in, he said, you look like you're carrying the whole world on your shoulders. That's not just one, it's called Eish Kodesh. but you're carrying on your shoulders. And it's true. What do you do? So the avoid is this, to say, so this is what I've been doing the last few days. I'm telling you this just, but I say like this, say, Ma'isha HaKotin. That's what I call that part of me, Ma'isha HaKotin. Ma'isha HaKotin. I know that you mean well, because I know that you don't want me to think about things that I'm upset about or that I'm disappointed about. I know you don't want me to think of all the agmas nefesh that I have from over. I know you don't want me to think about that stuff. And that's why, instead of having that, what are you doing? You're sending me this crazy thing. I understand that. But I want to tell you that I know be'etzem that there's nothing wrong with me physically. And I understand, and I know that be'etzem that this really chayi ha'nefesh, I have to do tshuva, and I have to be honest about things in my life, not to dwell on them, and to think about disappointments and things that have hurt me, and to just know that's the real, real place where pain comes from. So you say that 4 or 5, he said you could do it, it's better to do 10, 20 times a day. Don't let anybody else hear you talking like this. But mamish to say it. And I'm just, it's already bli ayin hara. It's already like 70% bad. That I went, because I had already had an appointment with the physical therapist. He said, you don't really need to come to me anymore. And 3 weeks ago, he was saying, you have the surgery, you have to have surgery, everything surgery. I thought, Baruch Shalom made such a thing. That there's such a mizug between the neshama and the guf. It's unbelievable. And I'm not saying, again, why is it that there's so many people that are... So he said you can go to the chiropractor, you go to acupuncturist. They were all asking Rabbi Katz, what about acupuncture? He goes like this, ah. What about physical therapy? He goes, ah. Now, I know these people are all going to be angry. He goes, ah. Gone. Nothing. You need to go to physical therapy? Garnish. No. Exercise is always good to exercise. Anything that you admit that you're crank, that you're sick, he says, that's the mistake. You're not sick. No, you're sick. No one's sick. And then he warned before everybody left. It was 2.5 hours. And he said, and when you go in the caucus, some of your husbands or wives said, don't start talking about how each one made the other one miserable and that's why you're upset. He says, he knows his custom. He's like, I know you're going to start talking about, I'm really upset about you. And that's why my shoulder's hurting, because of you. He says, I know what you're going to do. The second you get into the car, you're going to start arguing. He says, no talking about this when you get in the car. Nothing. That's what he said. Right, it's your fault that I have a headache. Isn't that true? And everybody started to laugh because they were already all set. Like, I didn't go with my wife there, but everybody was like set. Like, I'm going to, she's the cause of my backache. I knew it. It's her. He says, no diburim at all about anything that's upsetting in the car. In your own mind, in your own avayda, to understand, where is this? So there's a neshama beguf, Amish. And because Jews are so unbelievably sensitive to that relationship, things hurt us. Things hurt us. Inside and out, we feel pain. Jews aren't pain. Because a Jew is the heart of the world, like Rabbi Yehuda Levi said, a Jew feels pain. And it affects the outside also, not just the inside. There's such pain in a Jew. A Jew feels that. Because of the edelkeit of a Jew, because of the neshama beguf, feels that. It hurts, mamish, it hurts. It hurts. And tzaddikim, he has the rebbe's going to him in Rosh Hashivas, because a tzaddikim of war, they carry a tzaddik. It's the pain of the whole world, a tzaddik is. So imagine if they would have had Sano back in the time of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. But it's an unbelievable. Like, I can't stop thinking about this. The whole sugya is an amazing sugya. Hashem Yisbach should help us to be sure to have a refuas hanefesh and a refuas haguf. It should be not only that for individuals, but for all of Am Yisrael. All right. So Ezra, mind we're going to do this.